Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to get a preview of the Women's Conference coming up June 15th. Emily Leadham and Chris Bergwell join us to talk about kind of the why, the what, the where, all the details that you need to know to get signed up for the Women's Conference coming up in June. Jean Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Melinda North with the first and second reading. Deacon Roger Height with the Gospel.
A reading from the Book of Sirach. When a sieve is shaken, the husks appear. So do one's faults when one speaks. As the test of what the potter molds is in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. The fruit of a tree shows the care it has had. So too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, when this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall come about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, steadfast, always fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus used images in speaking to the disciples. Can a blind man act as a guide to a blind man? Will they not both fall into a ditch? A student is not above his teacher, but every student, when he has finished his studies, will be on a par with his teacher. Why look at the speck in your brother's eye when you miss the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck from your eye," yet fail yourself to see the plank lodged in your own? Hypocrite, remove the plank from your own eye first, then you will see clearly enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye. A good tree does not produce decayed fruit any more than a decayed tree produces good fruit. Each tree is known by its yield. Figs are not taken from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from brambles. A good man produces goodness from the good in his heart. An evil man produces evil out of his store of evil. Each man speaks from his heart's abundance. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, St. Catherine Drexel Parish in Sioux Falls has launched its Like and Share project. The parish is using its social media avenues of Facebook, Instagram, and its parish website to evangelize to as many people as possible. The parish shares, "You never know who needs to hear the invitation to come home." You can read and see more about the new effort in the March edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now or shortly, and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the Missouri House of Representatives this week passed the Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act, an omnibus bill that bans abortion when the heartbeat of an unborn child can be detected, which could be as early as 6 weeks, depending on the method used. The measure, HB 126, also limits late-term abortions after 5 months of pregnancy, declares the state of Missouri a sanctuary of life, bans abortions based on sex, race, or Down syndrome, and requires abortion doctors to have adequate malpractice insurance. Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the national pro-life group Susan B. Anthony List, said the state house's bold action shows the growing momentum to humanize our laws and challenge the radical status quo of Roe v. Wade. The United States is one of only 7 nations, including China and North Korea, that allow abortion on demand through the moment of birth, she said in a statement. Ultimate passage of this compassionate bill would make Missouri the 21st state to stop cruel late-term abortions and enact some of the strongest and comprehensive protections in the country for unborn children and their mothers. Perch, it's a mainstay of the Friday night fish fry in northeast Wisconsin, especially during Lent. But who knew that the perch also could provide a leg up to people striving to work their way out of poverty? Eric White, Catholic Social Justice Coordinator with the Diocese of Green Bay, had a hunch, and he was right. It was White who encouraged a community endeavor called the Farmery to apply for a Catholic Campaign for Human Development grant. As a result, the Farmery has received grants over the past 3 years, totaling $145,000 from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops' Domestic Anti-Poverty Campaign. As the Farmery tells visitors to its website, farmery.org, "We want to model sustainable ways of growing, eating, and living to those around us through education and outreach. We believe that we can strengthen people physically, mentally, spiritually through fresh produce, community service, and local education. Science meets social justice" is a good way to describe the Farmery. Inside the 20,000-square-foot building currently under renovation, you'll find people looking at food production in an old-as-new sort of way. Chicago Auxiliary Bishop Joseph N. Perry, postulator of Father Augustus Tolton's sainthood cause, said he was touched emotionally by the portrayal of the African-American priest's boyhood and family life in the new short film, Across. "It is the first attempt about a film on his life, and it validated everything I have come to know about him from the research phase that we took on while composing the official dossier that we sent to Rome," said Bishop Perry. So just how moved was Bishop Perry upon seeing Across? "A couple of times I had to hold back tears as my eyes were tearing up, and I look forward to the next chapters of the film that will entail Father Tolton's life in his adolescence, adulthood, priesthood, and death," the bishop told Catholic News Service. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Might be a film worth seeing.
Exactly.
All right, we'll check it out. Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Emily Leadham and Chris Bergwald, both involved with the upcoming Women's Conference. It's got a title, it's got a date, it's got a location.
It's got keynote speakers.
We're going to talk about all that stuff this morning. It is the second go-round of the Women's Conference. And for our diocese, obviously there's been a lot of different women's conferences around the country throughout the year, but not something we had done prior to, a little less than a year ago now. And here we are already planning for the second one, which is kind of exciting.
It's very exciting. As Emily and I have shared before with the Women's Conference, it was really something that we were responding to a need in the diocese, a desire, women desiring this. So, Jerry, if you've been in this work longer than we have, when there's a desire and a need and a want, oftentimes it's a lot easier to pull it off. And so many of our listeners probably have heard the story of we had a little blizzard last time around.
Yeah, a little snow. Yeah.
But we didn't let that stop us. And the response, in spite of the snow last year, was already a pretty clear sign that we need to do this again next year. And one of the things that our Office in Discipleship Evangelization always prioritizes is discerning our events.
Right.
Just because we've done them once doesn't mean we have to do it a second time, but we felt like there was definitely a need and a desire, and it was the Lord's will to have our second women's conference.
I'm going to come back to that because I want to hear about what goes into that discernment sort of thing. But Emily, I know you were, in a sense, out of the loop for a little while as you dealt with your new baby, and now you're back into it. Are you like ready to roll?
Yes, absolutely. It was actually kind of funny. I had just so happened sometime in December, a month or so into my maternity leave, had stopped in, and they were meeting. They had their committee meeting going on and said, "Hey, come have a slice of pizza and talk about the conference." And so thankfully, God kind of opened a door there, so I didn't feel too out of the loop when I came back. But we always talk about just when an event is in you, you know, when you have a desire for something and it originates just in your own heart of hearts, it makes it so dang fun to plan it. It makes it so fun to put the work into making it come to life. And I feel like with the Women's Conference, that's been one of the great joys, is that many of the people that are assisting in making this happen desire it
and
love it. And it's within their own heart.
Yeah, the energy, Chris, that you talked about, I get the sense that that really comes right from that core group that's been part of putting this conference together. You can kind of tell when you guys are meeting, because there's like a little glow that comes out of that, comes out of that meeting room, I think, because there's a lot of power in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of energy behind it. But also, Jared, just to reiterate again, though, I think that is also feeding off the energy and the power that comes from the women of the diocese in general. And it just so happens this committee sort of gives funnels. Yeah. That desire.
We are talking about the Women's Conference. We haven't actually talked about the date. It's June 15th, coming up at June 15th, 2019, at the Sioux Falls Convention Center. It is a women's conference. There is a role for men, and we're going to talk about that as well as we go along this morning. I'm curious, though, about the title, and maybe this is where we can talk more about the discernment piece, Chris, that you mentioned. Beloved is the name of the conference, and I suspect that was part of the process of deciding even to do this.
Yeah, we had a great conversation with Beautifully Made about great conversation meaning what do we do, Lord? Mm-hmm. About what to call it, and a lot of things were on the table. And when we sort of literally right now, I'm getting goosebumps. We landed on Beautifully Made, Jerry, with some of the folks in your department involved in that conversation as well. It was just right. Like, we liked the idea. This is a women's conference, but Beautifully Made really got at something that we wanted to convey. And so when it came time for our discussion and discernment about a second women's conference, what are we trying to say? And they're definitely related themes, Beautifully Made and Beloved, but trying to get at the reality that, especially in the case of women, I think in our culture at large today, in so many ways, to be clear in the name of the conference, that every woman is a beloved daughter of our Heavenly Father, personally and individually, was something that was really important, understates it, crucial for us to communicate and convey. And we really felt like, I mean, that was almost a slam dunk, a clear sign from the Lord. This is what He wants this conference to be called.
Both have obviously a deep scriptural connection, yeah, right, as well.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to tell you, a few weeks ago, I was talking with a group of women, and we were just having that conversation of how do you see yourself, and how do you think God sees you? Who are you in the eyes of the Father? And one of the women in the group said, I feel like God calls me beloved daughter. And you could just, you know, that moment when the weight kind of falls in the room, and the Holy Spirit enters in a new way. And I thought, oh, how interesting, Lord, you know, that you would be doing this now as we prepare for this conference. But really getting to the heart of who are you? You're a beloved daughter. And in a culture that is very much a throwaway or a false idea of, I think, authentic femininity, we wanted to go back to that really basic message of the fact that you and for you, first and foremost, are beloved daughter of the King.
Boy, I'm so glad you said that, because that's what it feels like to me, is that this moment is so ripe for something like this, because of just the mess we find ourselves in so many different directions in our culture right now. I would think, you know, men and women are looking for ways to kind of grab on, right? Mm-hmm. And what do I hang on to? What's real and what isn't?
Yeah, but go ahead.
I think there's such a cultural thing going on right now of women, pursue your dreams and be who, be whoever you want to be, and do it all, and that kind of thing. And those are all really, you know, can be really good messages. But I think without a deeper context of identity as, again, a beloved daughter of the King, those messages can get so convoluted. And then we see this really distorted femininity start to come out. And don't get me wrong, I think sometimes when we talk about Christian femininity, we think, flowers and fluff and frills or whatever, and that's not at all what we're saying. You know, I think of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was a rock.
No wilting flower there.
She might have been little, but she was fierce.
Yeah.
And just this real sense of femininity in every sense of the word, not just this external beauty or something like that, but a real conviction about who we are as women.
You think about some of the really stellar women saints mm-hmm. that come to my mind when you're talking about that. And the two Teresas, I always pair them up yeah. because I think of them together. And, you know, very, very, very different people.
Yeah.
But both in that sense, very strong. Teresa of Avila and Teresa of Lisieux.
Yeah.
They're, you know, both really powerful women, but in yeah. very different ways. It doesn't have to all be done in the same way.
Right? And I'd throw a third Teresa in there.
Yeah.
Teresa Benedict of the Cross, who's better known as Edith Stein.
Good.
Who was a very different in her own third way, if you will, of yeah. those three Teresas.
Yeah.
All Carmelites, yeah. as it turns out, but all very different women who embody what it means to be a woman, authentic femininity in very different senses.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we're talking about the Women's Conference. It's titled Beloved, coming up June 15th, 2019 at the Sioux Falls Convention Center. Should mention, you can sign up now, right? I mean,
yes,
you're trying to encourage.
Yes, registration is open. Absolutely, yeah. Registration is open, and we do that early so that you can plan. We have tables that are available, so if you want to get together your Bible study, your group of friends, a group of family members, that's all. We want to give you that opportunity to sit together with women that you're in community with. But you can also come individually, and be assured that if you are coming by yourself, you will not leave without having made a new friend. And yeah, there's a real openness, I think, at the event. So yeah, fear not if you don't know who would I go with. Come with us.
The first women's conference at last April during the blizzard, you had a really great contingent of men that had volunteered mm-hmm. To help make this day really special for the women. And what I remember as much as anything is the groups of guys going out to help people get in to the center from their car, maybe parking cars, maybe shoveling out cars that had gotten stuck. I just wonder what the guys are going to do in a June.
They're going to be bored.
In a June conference.
They're going to be so bored.
Women. They're actually going to do what you had originally intended.
Yes. Hopefully it rains really hard that day or something.
No, not hopefully.
They need a good job.
No, but seriously, I love the idea that you had the first time around, and I suspect it's true this time too, that this really is a day set apart for the women. You know, we're culturally, we're still very used to the women serving, right? Mm-hmm. And we try to, I think that's part of your goal is that not be the case.
Exactly. Yeah, we're doing the same thing again this year. We're looking for men for the various volunteer roles that we have. And one of the things I think was maybe lost sight of, but was a reality that we had, also men to sign up for an hour of adoration in the chapel at the conference to support women through their own prayer before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Those both more hands-on volunteer opportunities and those praying volunteer opportunities will be once again available. And I think it's this weekend happens to be the next day is Father's Day.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a powerful way to me celebrating women on Saturday and guys come and celebrate the women of the diocese, support the women of the diocese. And the next day, the dads get to be celebrated as well. So I think sort of a providential pairing of events that weekend.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. We haven't even talked about who's going to be talking, some of the details of the day. By the way, the registration location, if you want to sign up, is www.sfcatholic.org/womensconference. All one word, no space in there, Women's Conference. So you can check that out. You like that?
I was making it. You can't see it on radio.
I don't know that I've ever heard forward slash. I don't forward. Know what's the backwards and well, what's the forward first.
That is which way it's tipped. But I was it's radio. But I was making the proper signal with my hand. Unfortunately, people can't see it.
How often do you do that, Jerry?
Let's talk about the women's conference coming up. Great speakers. Talk a little bit about your speakers.
You both want to talk.
I just got to say one thing.
Go for it.
Jennifer Fulweiler and Barbara Heil are both coming back. Barbara Heil joined us last year and just lit the ladies on fire. And so we're so excited to have her back. And Jen Fulweiler as well. If for anyone that's listening that attended the Legacy event in 2015, Jennifer was here. I think that was probably the last time that she was here. And I just have to say, I don't know if people know this, but Jennifer Fulweiler loves the Diocese of Sioux Falls. to this day, she'll talk about it on her radio show and on her podcast.
Who could blame her, really?
I commented on her Instagram post a couple weeks ago, and she's like, I love that place. I am so excited to be back. She just thinks that we have the best diocese ever. So there's a real joy and a mutual affection, I think, that we have for Jennifer Fulweiler as she's preparing to come back.
I talked with Jennifer as we were figuring out what she's going to do for her keynote and breakouts, and she was. I mean, Emily is not exaggerating. She really does love it coming to Sioux Falls. She's been in our diocese, I think, two or three times now, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so she's very much looking forward to coming back.
I find her to be such an interesting person. My wife listens to her radio program quite frequently. I less frequently get a chance to hear it. But she's fascinating to me because she's tried stand-up humor.
Yeah.
You know, she does a variety of things. And she's a mother of a lot of kids.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she does it all.
Yep. Yeah, the thing I love...
A self-proclaimed workaholic, she'll tell you.
Yeah. The thing I love about Jennifer Fulweiler is, and this is going to come out in some, her talks at Beloved, so much of what she's trying to do, like if you listen to her radio show, it's not apologetics. It's not the catechism. It's about living out your faith, in her case, as a woman, a mm-hmm. wife, a mom. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the last book that she came out with?
One Beautiful Dream.
Yeah, so One Beautiful Dream was her last book. And it was very much just, it's got the cover is a picture of a burnt turkey. So it's just like cooked, burnt turkey. It's just, how do we live out our faith in our daily lives as ordinary, in this case, women.
And she and her husband, of course, have such a fascinating story because, both had spent time as atheists and found their way
to
the faith. So beautiful stories that she has to tell. And I think very relatable, as you're trying. Yeah. I think what you're trying to say is she's a very relatable person.
And I think we landed the jackpot this year in terms of both speakers really bring that to the table. Barbara as well, I think, just has this great sense of humor and can say things in a way that you can kind of get kicked and given a hug all at the same time. I talk about that in my spiritual director a lot. I think has a way of doing that where you get your butt kicked and feel so loved at the same time. And I really think that both of our speakers bring that to the table, which is such a gift.
Yeah. The whole idea of a conference, you know, you talked about the need for it and the desire for it and kind of the ground sprout, the growing desire for mm-hmm. it around our diocese. What does a conference like this do? What do you really hope it does for people?
I would say a couple of different things. On a basic level, connections. I really feel like last year one of the fruits that we saw was that people were greater connected to different parts of the diocese. They were more integrated and connected to the offerings of the diocese and then with each other. I think there were women that met each other or that maybe saw each other at the conference that had said, you know, I see you at Mass and I've never met you before. And wow, like you're taking your Saturday to come to a Catholic women's conference. I think you and I should be friends kind of thing. So I think that is a huge aspect of it. But then connections. But then the second part really being internally in the heart of the women that attend, because you have 600 women plus that are coming, that are being fed to overflowing, and then are going back home to love their families, that are going back to their husbands, to their kids, to their workplaces, wherever they might be going, changed on some level. And that's a disciple going out into the world. And I think that's really a great fruit of the conference.
And maybe with some different tools than they might have had before, maybe with some greater knowledge than they might have had before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ways to deal with whatever it is in their own lives that they have to deal with.
I think connecting back to what we said earlier, Jerry, hope, if nothing else, with a greater insight about who they are, mm-hmm. their identity
as beloved,
mm-hmm. as a daughter, not metaphorically, but literally through the graces of the sacraments, baptism and so on, literally daughters of God. And really, hopefully, the more you internalize that sentence that you could just go in one ear and out the other, but more you internalize the fact that we are all children of Heavenly Father, that, to use Emily's word, changes you, and people see the difference, and that is evangelization.
And I wonder why it's not the place to talk about it. Maybe it's another show for you and I someday, Chris, is why is that so hard for us? Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of us, men and women, struggle Amen. With that idea that we are beloved, that our Creator loves us so much and will do anything for us. We struggle with that.
It's what's one of the great lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
And by the enemy, I mean the devil.
Yeah.
and we succumb to that lie all the time. But here we're presenting the truth of the matter is with regard to the women of the diocese.
One of the things we talked about a lot before the last conference was the desire that this be for really any woman, regardless of where they're at on their faith journey. Would you say that again this time?
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody along the spectrum. We had high school students all the way through the matriarchs, as we affectionately call them in our planning committee. But I think we had, a woman came up to me after the last conference and she said, "What, I'm 83 years old and I've been waiting for 83 years. For
wow.
something like this, and I'm so grateful." And
she
this
came
was,
through the blizzard.
And she came through the blizzard. Her son picked her up and brought her and walked her in. And yeah, it just was really a touching thing. But absolutely, I think what our aim is to offer something for each and every person, no matter the stage of life, single, married, religious. If we have any religious that would like to come, we'd love to have them. But yeah, it applies because it's, again, it goes back to that rooted core identity that you're a beloved daughter. And that's true if you're 8 or if you're 85.
And it's true wherever you're at on your faith journey as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the goal here, we've talked with both conferences about what our emphasis is. And this is really about really nourishing the faith life of the women who come first and foremost, wherever they're at. You know, it could be like sort of equipping them to go out and that'll happen. But to use Emily's language from before, the goal is to feed them, to fill them to overflowing, and then let the Spirit and them work out what that looks like back home. The goal for today is really to focus on them wherever they're at.
So check your calendar, June 15th. Get it on your calendar for June 15th. Tell your friends, tell your family, bring your daughters, bring your grandmothers, whoever you want or whoever you think might benefit from this.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
And we didn't even get a chance to talk about breakouts, but I suspect we're gonna come back at this
again
before we get to June 15th.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about some of the breakouts, some of the more of the details of the day when we come back together and talk about this again. But again, register now. Get registered. sfcatholic.org/womensconference is where you can find it. It's going to be a good event.
It's going to be a really great event. Excited.
We are very excited. We're looking forward to seeing 600 women from around the diocese together on June 15th.
Oh, and by the way, if men have been listening this morning and decide, well, you know, I can volunteer for that. Same site?
Go to the website. Yep. If nothing else, I'm not sure if today we have the link up for volunteer sign up, but there's contact information. So get a hold of us and there will be information how to sign up as a volunteer.
Awesome. All right. Emily Leadham and Chris Bergold, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
Gene, believe it or not, later this week, what begins?
Ash Wednesday, Lent.
Lent begins. So you can kind of have these days to maybe do a little preparation, think a little bit about, you know, what it is you might give up or do extra.
Exactly.
During the Lenten season. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.